Hello and welcome into another episode of Locked on Wolves. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a list of at least five potential candidates for the Timberwolves president of basketball operations position for a couple of different reporters in the Twin Cities. We'll go through the list, talk about how realistic or unrealistic some of these names are, and also take another look at the playoffs and a team that the Wolves have a lot of similarities with, one of the four teams that's still playing in the playoffs. All that's coming up on the show today. Welcome in. You are Locked on Wolves.
You are Locked on Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked on Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked on Wolves podcast, part of the Locked on Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beek and I'm the host of Locked on Wolves. I'd like to thank today's sponsor of Locked on Wolves, Sakara Nutrition. Sakara is a wellness company anchored in food as medicine on a mission to nourish. Go to sakara.com/lockdown20 or enter code lockdown20 for 20% off at checkout. Happy Thursday, everybody. Today on the show, I want to spend most of our time talking about this new list of potential president of basketball operations candidates that came out here on, on Wednesday. So we'll do that here in just a second. First, though, thank you for making Lockdown Wolves your first listen every single day. Of course, Locked on Wolves is free and available everywhere, including YouTube, as well as all of your favorite audio platforms, Apple, Google, Spotify, Odyssey, anywhere you listen to podcasts, you can find the show. You can also find us on Twitter at Locked on T-Wolves or my account at BBeacon with two B's, two E's, C-K-E-N. All right, so spent a good chunk of the show on Wednesday talking about the Timberwolves front office and the new reporting that's out there, which isn't really new, but kind of, reiterated reporting that the Timberwolves' new ownership group, led by, of course, billionaire Mark Lurie and former Major League Baseball superstar Alex Rodriguez as the two most visible entities in this new ownership group, which, by the way, still are not majority owners and won't be for another roughly 18 months or so. It's the end of the 2023 calendar year when they could potentially take full control of the team. They want to make a splash. We've known that since day one. That was out there even when Gerson Rosas was still in charge, like a year ago. This was out there, or maybe not quite a year ago, last summer before Rosas was fired in September, that the new owners were going to want to, quote, make a splash. That was kind of the reporting that was out there that we heard consistently. And so that was the expectation, right? That at some point this was going to come up. And then Rosas got fired in the fall. It seemed even more obvious that that's what was going to happen, that they were going to want to make a splash, right? Well, then Sachin Gupta had a good season, didn't do a lot, but everybody seems to like him. Him and Chris Finch get along great. We talked about that on Wednesday. And then the more recent reporting, as we discussed in Wednesday's show, was that, hey, they're still trying to make a move. They're trying to find a, quote, top five executive. Dane Moore reported that from the Dane Moore NBA podcast. And John Krasinski, Darren Wolfson in the Twin Cities confirmed it, said that that was in line with what they had heard. And now we're getting some more specifics, at least in terms of reporting and rumors from folks. So the first report was Dane Moore started talking about a list of five potential president of basketball operations. He listed five. And then later in the evening, there was an additional report from John Krasinski and Shams Charania at The Athletic after the initial list came out that the Timberwolves were in deep talks with Denver Nuggets president Tim Connelly. So we'll actually start there, and then I'll get to the list of the five names because I think this is super interesting. And now there's apparently, this is my word, not anyone else's, a front runner for the position. So Shams and John Krasinski reported, this was late on Wednesday, that the Timberwolves are, quote, in serious talks with Denver Nuggets president Tim Connelly about the franchise's vacant president of basketball operations role. Again, this is at The Athletic. It says there's no agreements reached and nothing appears imminent, but they've moved beyond exploratory conversations. Of course, Connelly has led the Nuggets now for several years, has been there for a long time. And everybody, I mean, obviously Nikola Jokic, two-time MVP. He oversaw the drafting of Michael Porter Jr., among other, you know, more role-type players. Michael Malone has done a fantastic job there as the head coach. Monty Morris is another name of like a rotation caliber, really starting caliber point guard that was a second round pick in Denver. He's done a good job drafting. He's done a solid job of adding fringe free agent pieces in Denver, which is a, you know, kind of a, it's not a free agent destination. It obviously is maybe a little bit more desirable for free agents in the NBA than Minnesota has been traditionally, but there's a lot to really like about what Connolly would bring to the table. There was a report. I'm going to see if I can find the actual, here it is. Darren Wolfson, actually Doogie, reported after he had been he put this out on Twitter. He said that Tim Connolly Timberwolves buzz has been out there for a while. He says nothing's imminent. One person close to Connolly says, quote, again, this is from Darren Wolfson on Twitter, quote, I don't see it unless they give him $10 million per and equity. We don't know what Connolly makes now to oversee the Nuggets front office, but $10 million is a lot for president of basketball operations and equity in the team, which is, for instance, one of the reasons why Masai Ujiri from Toronto is a pretty unlikely candidate for the Wolves job, despite them obviously being interested. He's got ownership stake in the Raptors, and that's just a lot to unwind. It's not impossible, obviously, but it's a lot to unwind. And for Connolly to move from Denver to a similar sized market, same division, a similar situation, but a couple of years behind the Nuggets in terms of the roster development, we'll leave it at that for now. I think for that to be ultra attractive, it would have to be a huge payday and equity in the team and things like that. So I think it's fascinating. I think he's a really interesting candidate, especially compared to some of the other names on that list. So that's what I want to do next. I want to look at the other names on the list, talk about why I think Connolly is a really interesting target on this list. But there's some big names here that caused me to kind of sit up a little straighter when I read them. But again, maybe not surprising given the big names that, or the splash that we've talked about, Lauri and Rodriguez wanting to make. So let's look at that list next. And then I want to get to the team of the four that's still playing in the playoffs that I think bears the most similarities to the Timberwolves' current roster and what that might mean for the Wolves for next year. We're going to do that here next. First, though, let's talk about our friends over at Truebill. Do you know why free trials renew without your consent? Well, it's a business scam out to get you. Don't let greedy corporations pocket your money. Download Truebill instead to take control of your subscriptions. Truebill is the new app that helps you identify and stop paying for subscriptions you don't need, want, or simply might have forgotten about. On average, people save up to $720 per year with Truebill. Because companies make subscriptions hard to cancel, Truebill makes it incredibly simple. Just link your accounts and Truebill will cancel your unwanted subscriptions in just one tap. And your Truebill concierge is there when you need them to cancel unwanted subscriptions so that you don't have to. Truebill has over 2 million users and has helped save them over $100 million. Like Matthew B., who says, quote, in a matter of seconds, I saved $660 for the year on my DirecTV bill, saved $120 for the year on my SiriusXM bill, and $840 a year on car insurance. Don't fall for subscription scams. Start canceling today at Truebill.com/LockedOnNBA. Go right now to Truebill.com/LockedOnNBA. It could save you thousands a year. Again, Truebill.com/LockedOnNBA. Let's also talk about our friends over at Built Bar. I love brownies, but you know what I love even more? Brownie batter. 100% true. Sometimes I eat half the batter, and just when I'm making the brownies and eat the batter itself instead. Imagine if you could lick the brownie spatula clean and get some protein in. Well, you're in luck because Built has a new creation, and this one is better than ever. The brownie batter puff is fantastic. The puff takes protein bars to a whole new level, and they're available right now on Built.com. If you haven't tried Built Puffs, I don't know what you're waiting for. I've talked about them for a long time now. They're absolutely phenomenal. They're chocolate-covered marshmallow protein bars, and they're covered in 100% real chocolate. The brownie batter puff has 140 calories, has 17 grams of protein, and just 7 grams of sugar. Brownie batter puffs are the perfect pick-me-up for any day. They're all covered in 100% real chocolate. That means you can eat healthy and actually enjoy doing it. They're made with collagen protein, which your body absorbs more efficiently and provides tons of health benefits. The brownie batter puffs will have you completely forgetting that you're eating a protein bar. No need to pinch yourself. This is real life. Go to Built.com to get brownie batter puffs now. That's Built.com. Again, promo code LOCKED15. You get 15% off your order. Promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at Built.com. One more big thank you for making Locked On Wolves your first listen every day. Now make sure to go check out the Locked On NBA Big Board. Host Raphael Barlow from NBA Draft Junkies and the author of the NBA Big Board newsletter is joined by Richard Stamen, Sam Ferris, and Leif Thulin, giving fans an in-depth look into the NBA draft, mock draft, player rankings, and of course, big boards. It's free and available wherever you get podcasts. And of course, we're now into draft season. Next week is when I'm going to start ramping up Timberwolves-specific draft coverage, what the Wolves might do with the 19th pick, their 3 second-round picks. So start your draft season. The lottery obviously was earlier this week. Kick it off by starting to listen to the Locked On NBA Big Board and get familiar with all the names on said big board. So be sure to do that. All right, let's talk about the rest of this list. So Tim Connelly, current Nuggets president, would come to Minnesota for the same title, probably only for a large raise, perhaps, and or stake in ownership. That's a possibility. And according to reports late in the evening from John Krasinski and Shams Charania of The Athletic, he is a front runner now, was the language that they used. The language they used to be inescapably accurate is that they're beyond exploratory conversations. He's a serious target. No agreements have been reached and nothing appears imminent. Those are probably the four most important phrases. So in my mind, makes him the front runner. I think that's probably the best way to sum it up. But a little earlier in the evening, there was a list of six names mentioned by Dane Moore of the Dane Moore NBA show that the Wolves are interested in. I'm just going to read the list and then I'll mention the sixth name that was originally on the list. Tim Connelly, Masai Ujiri. We talked about him on the show Wednesday. Daryl Morey, of course, currently of the Sixers, Bob Myers of the Warriors, and Sam Presti of the Thunder. Originally, Pat Riley was on the list as well, according to Dane Moore. If you made a list of the top five or six executives, it's basically that, right? Greg Popovich would be on the list. I guess that would probably be the most obvious way to change it. Pat Riley. I guess, yeah. I mean, that's basically those. That's pretty much the list we talked about yesterday. Brad Stevens, I guess, would maybe be the other one, but he not that long ago moved into his current role in Boston. So, and by that I mean like a year ago. So that's pretty much the list of the guys, and to lure them to Minnesota, same thing we said about Connelly. It's got to be a massive amount of money. It's got to be ownership stake, etc. Of that list, Connelly would appear to be the most attainable. Frankly, Presti would maybe be the only other one that I would think, like, you're not getting Pat Riley. It's probably why he's not on the list anymore. You hear he's got ownership stake in the Toronto Raptors and has, won a championship there, built a legacy there. Obviously not to the extent of as what Pat Riley's done in Miami, but I don't think you're getting Ujiri. Daryl Morey hasn't been in Philly for that long and frankly, has made some questionable decisions there. Bob Myers is his team's still playing and has a good thing going in Golden State. We all know what they think about the rest of the front offices in the league based on the New York Times story from several years ago or LA Times or whatever it was. In my mind, Presti, I would say Connelly, Presti, and Ujiri, in my mind, are the top three gettable guys, probably in that order. We talked about Connelly a little bit already. And he doesn't have necessarily the track record with the franchise as the rest of the guys do, except for Morey and Philly, obviously. But Pat Riley's synonymous with the Miami Heat at this point in his career. Ujiri has been in Toronto, of course, was in Denver previous to that. Bob Myers and Golden State are pretty inextricably tied together. So Masai, I think, would be the third option. Not if you're ranking the options based on pure gettability, he wouldn't be third. But I think, or not gettability, in terms of just who you'd want in a vacuum with not considering other factors, I don't think they get Masai. But it would be amazing to get him. I just think that it's the same situation as Connelly, except for a team that's already actually won a championship and has a fantastic former coach of the year leading their staff. As I said, I think Connelly is gettable-ish. And then Sam Presti is the other one that's interesting. Because they haven't been to the finals in 10 years. They haven't been a consistent, I guess they've only missed the playoffs, twice in the past decade, which speaks to the job he's done. But they've got a young coach. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is really the only surefire NBA, surefire is maybe strong, but very likely future NBA All-Star in that roster. They've got a ton of draft capital. So to lure Presti away from OKC with the amount of draft capital they have could be really difficult. But they're also in this weird spot where do you trade SGA for assets or do you continue to build around him? Is his timeline going to match up with all these guys you're about to draft with the Josh Giddies? Well, I guess it could match with Josh Giddey, but players you're about to draft who aren't going to be fantastic right away necessarily. What's the draft and develop philosophy look like there? You know, obviously not a major free agent market either. I would think Minnesota would attract more free agents, all things equal, than Oklahoma City. I mean, Presti could be gettable. It's just that he's got so much leash in Oklahoma City, and he presumably would to move to Minnesota and take on this job. It would have to be a godfather-like offer. But there are advantages to Minnesota over Oklahoma City. I mean, first of all, I think almost any team in a vacuum would rather have Karl-Anthony Towns and Anthony Edwards than Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. I mean, SGA is fantastic, but like if you're ranking assets, those two have to be higher on your list than an SGA, sitting here right now. And you lose some draft capital, your market gets maybe a little bit more attractive, your ownership group gets more aggressive think back to what happened in Oklahoma City, right? Going all the way back to the James Harden trade 7-8 years ago, and some of the moves they had to make, eventually moving off of some of those guys to break up that core, Serge Ibaka eventually, earlier in that process, trading off, Kendrick Perkins and some of those things that they did, breaking down that Westbrook Durant core, and then now trying to build it back up, making the run with Chris Paul. But like it all has kind of been initiated by an ownership group that at the time was trying to make sure to stay out of luxury tax, et cetera, a much smaller market than Minnesota. Very likely that Mark Lowry is going to be a little bit more aggressive and willing to do once they take full control here in the next couple of years. And that sort of thing is going to be attractive to an executive like Sam Presti, who's going to want that flexibility and want an owner to really go to bat for them. And very quickly, that could become an attractive part of the job in Minnesota. So I don't think Presti's out of the question. Obviously, Connolly, again, is the front runner. And then I would put Presti next, probably a jump. And then Uhiri, Myers, and Morey. Well, I don't know what order that would be in. Uhiri, Myers, Morey, Riley would be following that, a little bit further down. Really interesting to see what happens with this, right? I mean, again, as I talked about on Wednesday, the timing is timing's not the right word. I think all the different factors, when you consider in Sachin Gupta and the fact that he's now been in charge for like 9 months and they want him there still, and that's still in their reporting from The Athletic, is they want Gupta to stay on in some capacity, and he's still a candidate for the job. So the Chris Finch factor, right? Chris Finch should have been a more serious candidate for Coach of the Year, but received votes, took his team to the playoffs, improved the team by, 13 games from last season. No, more than that. Improved the team by a lot of games from last season. There's so many things that are kind of in place already in Minnesota. Can you lure somebody from a different organization that's already got such a proven track record to be here in Minnesota? I think it's just a fascinating, fascinating conversation. 23 games improvement, not 13. I don't know what I was thinking. I went from 23 to 46 wins. Okay, let's close the show by talking a little bit about the playoff team that's still playing that I think is most like the Timberwolves' current roster and why that means, hey, the Wolves could take roughly the same roster with some tweaks around the edges, as we've talked about, using the resources they have available to improve for next year and get beyond the first round of the playoffs. So we're going to talk about that here next. First, let's talk about our title sponsors from today's program, and that, of course, our friends at Sakara Nutrition. Feeling your best starts with what you eat. Sakara helps you live a healthy, balanced lifestyle and truly enjoy it with delicious, plant-rich, transformational nutrition that builds a foundation for living in your best body. Sakara is a wellness company that's anchored in food as medicine on a mission to nourish your body through the power of plants. Sakara gives you the tools you need to transform your life with their organic, ready-to-eat meal delivery program and functional wellness essentials. Their nutritionally designed, chef-crafted breakfasts, lunches, and dinners are made with powerful plant-rich ingredients, helping boost your energy, support your digestion, curb your sugar cravings, and get your skin glowing. Plus, it's all delivered right to your door, ready to eat. Sakara's functional, plant-rich wellness essentials help you create a body you love living in From their best-selling Metabolism Super Powder to The Foundation, their daily supplement packs, Sakara's products are designed to support your wellness goals anytime, anywhere. And right now, Sakara is offering our listeners 20% off their first order when they go to sakara.com/lockedon20 or enter code lockedon20 at checkout. That's Sakara, sakara.com/lockedon20 to get 20% off your first order. Again, sakara.com/lockedon20. All right, so both conference finals are at game end. We saw on Wednesday a blowout, really, following what turned into a blowout on Tuesday night in the Eastern Conference Finals. On Wednesday, we saw Golden State run away from Dallas, really kind of from the start. They're up 9 at halftime, and then they were up 19 going into the fourth quarter, ended up winning by, what'd they win, by 25. By the way, this is a side note, Andrew Wiggins was a huge part of that win. He held Luka Doncic to 20 points and 18 shots and 7 turnovers. The Warriors basically played a box and one to try and defend Luka, which is an intelligent strategy. It's not something he hasn't seen entirely or that he entirely hasn't seen before. But it completely locked Doncic down. Nobody else scored more than 17 points. Dinwiddie had 17 off the bench. But this was all about the Warriors' defense. They forced Dallas into 23% shooting on three-pointers, which, by the way, is not a bad segue to the point I wanted to make about the playoffs and the Timberwolves, is Dallas is the team that's most like Minnesota of the teams remaining, right? They, you know, in terms of personnel, in terms of the starting lineup and I guess playing essentially small ball, and the Wolves don't play small ball, but because of what they do defensively and because of Karl Anthony Towns being on the perimeter more often, they don't play with any other real true bigs, and defensive rebounding is a struggle. That's the same for Dallas. Now, they were a better defensive rebounding team than Minnesota while playing really a smaller lineup because they just do simply a better job of boxing out and crashing the glass. And they've just got an aggressive, Luka Doncic helps a lot being a big guard. But like Jalen Brunson's like barely over 6 feet tall, and he starts alongside Luka. Dwight Powell's undersized as a center and doesn't play heavy minutes for them. And even off the bench, Maxi Kleber is typically the one playing the backup center minutes these days for Dallas. And, you know, especially after the Kristaps Porzingis trade earlier this season, the Mavs obviously decided, hey, we're comfortable playing small. We're comfortable, you know, playing through Luka all the time and letting our kind of key role players, essentially that's the rest of the team, right? There isn't a second star. Jalen Brunson is the closest thing at this point. They've obviously got guys who have played outstanding this year. Dinwiddie is one example who, of course, they acquired in season. You know, Reggie Bullock's had a fantastic season for them. But like when you think of the Wolves, you think of the big three, right? Or you think of Towns and Edwards. But they've got two guys in max contracts and Towns and Russell. And Dallas is essentially Luka Doncic. You know, they traded away Kristaps Porzingis and this is Doncic and a bunch of role players. Now, of course, they just got beat by 25 and already with a team with one really high usage guy, they've gone further than people expected this year. I thought they'd be better than they were in the regular season, frankly, but they've figured out how to play with the one high usage guy. We'll see how that plays against Golden State. But my point here is that they play a smaller lineup. They more than hold their own on the glass. And they've been able to overcome the lack of true dynamic talent around Luka because Luka's been that good and because the scheme is so good. They shoot a ton of threes, just like Minnesota does. I was going to try and pull up the exact three-point rate here for them, but like in this loss, right? They launched 48 threes in the loss to Golden State, and they only made 23%, which is clearly a major issue for a team that shoots a ton of threes. So they shot 48 threes in the game. The Wolves, for comparison's sake, led the league in three-point attempts per game at 41.3 attempts per game, and three-point rate was third in the league for Minnesota. So they led the league in three-point attempts per game, and Dallas attempted 7 more than Minnesota in this one playoff game in this loss. On the season, Dallas averaged 37.4 threes per game, which was 8th league-wide. Three-point rate-wise, they were 5th. The Wolves were 3rd, the Mavs were 5th in terms of team three-point rate in the regular season. So that is a pretty similar profile to Minnesota. They were 8th in defensive rebounding in the regular season. The Wolves, of course, were bottom 5. But this was generally a similar philosophy on offense, right? Lots of threes, quick ball movement. They've got a really intelligent group of players. They understand the ball movement thing. And I mean that goes a long way, as we've seen with Dallas. It's a deep kind of even roster. In some senses, not too different than what we've seen Denver do over the past couple of years, except obviously playing through Jokic instead of playing through a Doncic type player. But there's similarities there. And of course, when Dallas was really good a couple of years ago, they had Jamal Murray. There's been high hopes for Michael Porter Jr. There is a little bit more star power there when they're fully healthy, but we didn't see that this season. And Luka's just been fantastic, especially last round in the playoffs. But there are some similarities there between what Dallas does and what Minnesota is going to try and do. And obviously a ton of credit goes to Jason Kidd, who was a much maligned hire and was not good in his previous head coaching stops, but their defense is fantastic. They're an aggressive defense. They're sixth in defensive rating in the regular season. They defensive rebounding is a big part of what they do. And they approach it a little bit differently than Minnesota because, like, for instance, their steal rate and their block rates are pretty low. It's more just a solid defense that understands what they're doing and knows their roles. Minnesota was a more aggressive, obviously blitzing defense, creating turnovers, trying to beat teams that way and get out in transition and run. Dallas was more than happy to play much slower, play solid half court defense. In fact, Dallas was last in pace in the regular season. They had no problem walking the ball up the court. Minnesota was the exact opposite. First in pace, generating tons of turnovers, tons of steals, tons of blocks. Dallas was middle of the pack in terms of opponent turnover rate defensively. And they were bottom five in both steal and block rate as a team. So the defensive philosophy is different, but they still used a top 10 defense with unique personnel and were able to rebound effectively, which is the piece the Wolves were missing the most. And then an offense launched tons of threes, make the right pass, play their entire offense through Luka Doncic, just how the Wolves should be playing their entire offense through Karl-Anthony Towns, although they've got Anthony Edwards, obviously, as the other piece that the Mavs don't have. So I just think there's a lot more similarities there than there are between the Wolves in, say, Golden State or the Wolves in Miami or even the Wolves in Boston. I would say Dallas is the closest thing to what the Wolves are. It's going to be a lot of fun as the Wolves continue to get better to see the Wolves-Mavs matchups here moving forward in the West. The Wolves only had to play Luka, I think, once this year. I believe he missed a couple of their matchups. So it'll be fun to see that next year and beyond. All right, we'll obviously keep an eye on the POBO, the President of Basketball Operations, search for the Timberwolves here. The plan is now Friday, after this kind of really breaking news late Wednesday, Friday to do the Karl-Anthony Towns season review, and then next week, basically all draft stuff, and then obviously keeping a pulse on this situation. So please make sure to stay tuned to the show. Make sure that you're following and subscribed. Thank you to those of you that do make the show your first listen every day. Of course, you can find Locked On Wolves anywhere, including YouTube, Apple, Google, Spotify, and Odyssey. You can also follow on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves and at BBeacon with two B's, two E's, C-K-E-N. That's all we have for you today. Thanks again for listening to Locked On Wolves, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on all the biggest stories. As long as you're making us your first listen, please consider making your second listen Locked On NBA. From the first jump ball, the play-in, to the last possession of the finals, Locked On experts take you deep inside the playoffs with insight and analysis affecting all 30 teams. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.